to the Cognitive Rampage. I'm Adam Lowry. We're powered by SWATMMA.com. It's an all-around fitness and MMA training facility that you just have to check out. My friends Jeffrey Montalbano and Julian Williams are some of the best trainers around. From jiu-jitsu to kickboxing and Muay Thai, or just all-around fitness, check my boys out at SWATMMA.com. Joining the tribe today are the boys of Kodiak once again for part three. This time joining us is Dr. Jam Burt, sports psychologist. We got really in-depth with some new things the team is going to try on their long journeys and travels. We get in-depth with the mind frame of an athlete before, after, and during sports. But let's get to it.
You got Jake, and you have Tyler Whitfield, Coach McGuire, myself. Guys, meet Dr. Jam Burt. I told you a little bit about him.
I heard some pretty amazing things about you guys.
Yeah,
in my dealings with college and even pros, nobody goes through what you go through just to be able to play. You're amazing young men.
Thank you. He's world-renowned.
Yeah, he's Jan. Well, I'll introduce you, Dr. Jam Burt. It's an old friend of mine, mentor of mine, to be more honest about things. How long now, Jan, have we known each other?
Oh, I don't know, 6 years, 5 years, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a while. We've been working on a couple things together, but, I appreciate you being kind enough to come on and talk. But you're extensive in sports psychology. I know you work with some Marlin players as well, but, I mean, you're extensive in psychology anyway, everywhere from chronic pain to, well, I mean, what athlete doesn't deal with chronic pain? So I guess that goes hand in hand, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a lot of years. Working with a lot of different big kind of levels of players and a lot of athletes. I find the young ones, though, are the ones that have the most amazing drive.
Why is it? What changes? I mean, I'm already going to get into it, guys. I'm sorry. Coach, you did your introductions with the players, right, before I just dive into it?
Yes. Yeah, senior wide receiver Tyler Whitfield, Jake Yavorsky, who's returning to your show today. Senior middle linebacker.
Good to meet you, boys. Good to see you again, Jake.
Good to be here.
And Coach McGuire, we said hello earlier, too. Hope everybody's doing okay. I really appreciate you guys huddling together in a place to make this happen on your long journey home.
We're glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Now, how long was the journey this time?
10 hours. Usually ferry, and then the bus ride about 3-4 hours.
So
14 hours ferry, 5 minutes.
Yeah,
it was about stops in Fort Lyons.
Yeah, it's about 18 hours all together just to get to the school.
So 18 hours, and you left on Friday, right?
Right.
I got. Yeah, I was talking to Dr. Jan Burt. I'm just gonna have to call you Jan. I can't do it, Doc. I'm used to calling you Doc all the time too.
Yeah.
Him and I were talking earlier this morning about the travel and bringing him up to date on what it is you all go through and what you endure to make that trek to play the game I love very much. And as he was referencing it there on what you go through and how, you know, college and pros, they don't even go through that. And as you opened up, you know, the young minds or the young players tend to be, I don't know, their drive is different. What is that difference in drive, you think, Doc?
I think, you know, especially for these young men, you know, from what you've told me about them, you know, what they go through just to be able to play a few hours of football, it's the mental discipline to be able to go through what they go through and then to put aside that fatigue factor and that the level of endurance that they've already had to put out before they even walk on a field. You know, that is tremendous. I mean, the average, you know, college or professional athlete, you know, they get a little inconvenience, but they are, you know, given a tremendous amount of support so that they're at their peak when they walk out there. You guys are just astonishing. I mean, from what Adam has told me, and you guys just said 18 hours of travel, hard travel. And then to have the mental discipline to put that down, put that away. You know, it's almost like something out of a adventure movie. Every time you go to play a game, you guys should be a feature-length movie. You know? No, I'm serious. Think about it. Overcoming this tremendous hardship, the mental discipline. Your coaches must be amazing guys to keep you guys so focused with so much endurance before you even start a game.
We these guys, coach. This is these guys played what 4 hours? When did we arrive yesterday?
Coach, we got here about 9:30. And the JV game started at 11, kicked off at 11. So we had about 45 minutes to get ready for the JV game. And then these guys watched the JV game, and we played the varsity game.
So in that travel, really, to be clear, you arrived at 9:30 a.m. Saturday morning and left Friday.
Left Friday at 5 o'clock, arrived at 9:30 a.m., and played at 11.
What kind of stress, Doc, does that do to, a young mind like that, that travels like that and then has to step on a gridiron like that?
Yeah, I can tell you, I'm really amazed. I mean, I think the impact that has to be able to keep your focus, when you think about the playing at the competitive level that you guys are at, we talk about things like focus and being able to get yourself tuned in and having your energy level high and not worn down. I don't know very many higher level players that I've worked with over the years, whether they be golfers or baseball players or any other sport, that could really perform at the level that you guys perform. It's exhausting, and it's a tremendous disadvantage to have to go through what you go through. It's a shame there isn't some other vehicle out there, some other way to get you guys to where you got to go. Because I hear you're performing phenomenally. I hear you're playing phenomenally well. I can only imagine what it'd be like if you actually were rested and focused and had sleep before you got on the field. You guys are amazing.
Thank you.
You guys can talk to Dr. Burr. He's a nice guy. Yeah, they were, coach. We played the number one team in the state last week and the state overall. I know we were anxious to hear from you, too, because we have lots of questions that we'll try not to throw out there today. But, even the coaches, some of the other coaches we're talking, things that we can do, because we do get complaints of, like last night, they were sleeping on the ferry floor. And some of them got to sleep in, if you can picture a mini-size Denny's restaurant booth, many were sleeping on that bench. So we had lots of complaints of stiffness, and they don't complain. When I ask them, they never complain, but when I ask them, what I worry about is that nerve tightening. I can tell they're limping a little bit, and then they stress themselves out, and they get a little bit better. But, as coaches, we want to know, we always want to know what we can do better they stretch, they jog, they do those things. But you can tell it does have an effect, especially in the first quarter, where we're really trying to stride out. I worry about some injuries, that may be there with fatigue, with knees. We've got some swollen knees, some, ankles, some joint pain that is starting to increase every week. And I know it's football. But part of my worry is, do we need to be concerned and do we need to spend extra time on the joints and getting them loose and those kind of questions?
Right. I think probably, your physicians are going to give you some better input on that. But obviously, cold and lying on hard surfaces is going to increase stiffness. You're going to need to maybe work with maybe your sports physicians to,
right,
to find some ways to get those areas worked out. From a mental discipline area, though, maybe using some relaxation tapes, self-hypnosis or hypnosis-type tapes to get their bodies to relax and really let go. Like when you watch Olympics, and when I work with some of the Olympic or pre-Olympic kind of players, you know, you see them with their headphones on and they're going through their routine. So a lot of times they're just listening to pre-recorded tapes that enable them to get their bodies to fully relax before they perform, you know, and to also get them mentally fired up at the same time.
Well, that's and that I should have led to the mental part of that. I know it's your specialty. I know from a pain standpoint that's different on the after the game, but the, you know, we always want to try to optimize, especially from a mental standpoint. You're right, the mental fatigue. Now having traveled a couple of times with him, and even having it fairly easy compared to some of the trips these guys have been on. You know, you worry as a coach, you worry about can we come back to center? Can we focus? You know, you wonder how much if we miss an assignment, and it's certainly not, these guys have no problem with effort, but I wonder sometimes if there could be an effect on missing assignments or things like that based on that kind of thing. But, you know, we, as coaches, you never give them an excuse either.
I think that's an interesting point, though, Coach. That idea, you know, about, you know, reaction time. I think that speaks to our brain functioning. I should probably let the doctor answer that, but I found that to be interesting. Can I second that question, Doc?
Yeah, definitely. Hey, you've been there. You know, did you ever share your background a little bit with on the air where you come from?
Yeah, well, I played a little bit, but not like this. I mean, in any travel like that, I'm just trying to think how in a reaction time does that affect it? I mean, it's got to, right? I mean, 18 hours of uncomfortable travel, cramping bodies, non-sleep. I love that advice about the meditation too, by the way, Coach. I meditate. I'm a huge believer in it. You know, I would encourage that myself, to try to warm the mind up and allow that body to relax maybe prior to leaving and then maybe even after arriving.
I think, you know, that's a big part. I mean, you guys, it sounds like you're doing everything you need to do, but the hardship you guys are facing is the biggest challenge. I mean, that's just a lot of hours, to get where you're trying to get to, you know, from a mental discipline standpoint. I think sleep, rest, getting yourselves, you know, as much rest and as much focus. Try to take yourselves out of the environment you're in while you're traveling. I think that probably will help a little bit. And I'm sure you guys try to kill some of that time sleeping as best you can under the circumstances, you know, so at least you're getting the rest you need. But I would wonder if, you know, using some, I'm sure a lot of guys have iPhones or things you travel with or whatever, or little recorders or MP3s, and get yourself, you know, where you can get yourself into a deep, relaxed state while you're in transit, so that even though your body is going through one thing, your mind is maybe not as focused on that. Your mind is focused on very positive, relaxing, energizing experiences.
I like that. You know, speaking to how if we can't change our environment, I think is what you're talking to, that the only power we have is to try to reframe our perception of the environment that we're in and pull ourselves out of it. And I really like that idea, because I would say, you know, video games, even some harder music, or these things probably don't help for a journey, I would say. I like that advice, Doc, of trying to put yourself in a total relaxed meditation state by using some more applied techniques of changing your perception of an environment or trying to leave it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the best advice I can give. I mean, from an understanding of this, you know, of sports performance, of course your performance is going to be impacted, but you guys have got that ability to come back. So I think a big part of it is, as I'm sure your coaches are doing with you, you know, just getting yourselves refocused, pumped, telling yourselves you have a window. You know, I've got to be up for 2 hours. I got to be up for 3 hours of by performance, and then I'll give myself permission to crash, you know. Like when you work with guys that are in combat, you know, they might be completely exhausted, but when a firefight starts or something occurs, you know, they got to be able to pull it all together just to survive that. And so that's where the adrenaline kicks in. And I'm sure that's what it does for you, that reserve adrenaline. So finding ways to conserve some of that adrenaline while you're traveling so that you can pull upon it when you need it at game time is important. You know, I'm sure you guys are already mentally crashing now that the game's over. Your brain has said, okay, let's shut the adrenaline off and let's start to conserve a little bit because we got a long journey home. And then you got to get back to school again. I mean, you amaze me.
Well, I know it's interesting the difference between like the home games and the travel games. You know, the feeling and the atmosphere after the game is much different. I mean, I know they crash much harder. I know that I do after partaking in that journey and then going through the game and then afterwards, just that adrenaline goes out and you're just exhausted. So.
Yeah. Now, do all the guys, all the other teams travel like you guys do? Do they all have to put in 14, 18-hour journeys just to play football?
No, only us, because we're on an island. But all the other mainland teams, they just drive to their games and usually just drive back home after.
So you better take that long ferry road ride just to get onto the – what about on your home games? Do they have to travel by ferry to you?
Yeah.
Some of them fly. Apparently this year they're going to fly. They've got enough whatever. And you're right. What three of them are going to, or two of them travel to us.
Yeah.
So right. They do have.
But it seems like, I'm just going to say it.
Of course, we have to pay for that. They make Kodiak pay for the other team to travel.
Wow. So you got to pay for the privilege of them coming to play you.
Right.
You definitely got to whoop them at that point.
That's right.
I'm sorry. I forgot the. I know Jake, the other player there. You sent me his name. I'm sorry. Help me out.
Tyler.
Nice to meet you. Tyler, good to meet you too. You have a look on your face that is if like you're bursting to say something. And man, walk me through the mental journey with you. We talked about Jake's journey. You know, he's been doing it since he was a kid there. Once he moved there, but what's your journey and experience? You know, traveling like this, has it been you know, grade school since birth? What's it like for you?
It's mostly just been since like middle school and high school, because in middle school, like, we play football. You play local teams because we're on an island. You can only play each your friends. You can't really travel much until you go like on an all-star trip or something. And you travel once a year, but then when you get in high school, you're always traveling, no matter what sport you play.
And so as a ninth grader, when you walked in, you started experiencing this type of 14, 18-hour type travel.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your reaction when you first did it?
It wasn't too bad. It's kind of frustrating because you kind of sit there and your joints get all stiff and sore. Not the same as, you know, getting good rest in your own bed.
Yeah, we talked a lot about how that type of travel, last week I think we were talking about what it does to almost toughen a team up. We were talking about the essence of your team and the essence of the coaching philosophies, et cetera, last week. And I wondered and I asked the question, you know, could that travel really bring the team closer together and create more of a team unity going through such, you know, treacherous travel?
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, Doc, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys are like a band of brothers there. I mean, you know, what you go through just to get yourself to a football game, you know, the bonds that you guys are probably going to take away from this are going to be far greater, especially growing up on the same island, far greater than what other young men will probably have with their teammates on teams where they, you know, they go out, they play, they do their thing, and then they go home and have dinner with their family. You guys are really living together when you travel for days at a time and supporting each other and picking each other up. You know, it's incredible. It creates a much stronger bond. I also understand you guys sometimes have to play because you can't get enough guys or enough money or enough travel expenses at times, you guys play both ways a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Both of us play both offense and defense. And some special teams, mostly everyone plays both ways.
That's
They're on the field about 100. On average, we have 8 guys that average about 130 plays a game.
Wow.
And most high school kids average half that.
Right, yeah. Oh, my word. And adding that travel to it. Now, Coach McGuire, do you do any special kind of conditioning or any different kind of conditioning to prepare for? I mean, I don't even know if any exists that can prepare you for an 18-hour ferry boat ride sleeping in a Denny's booth. But do you try to pay special attention to that conditioning part since, you know, the kid's got to play both ways and special teams?
You know, we just do the conditioning that you get them ready to play the game. As far as the boat riding that goes, I'm not really sure how you prepare yourself for that. I mean, they've done it before. They know that, you know, they're playing cards. They're doing their own, you know, the thing on the boat where they can get some rest in that. But I mean, the conditioning piece, we know that they're going both ways, and they do a fair amount of running and all that. So
a little bit,
yeah.
They're making jokes next to us about fair amount.
Yeah, well, I know if my brother, if Coach Lowry is the one doing conditioning, I apologize, fellas. He means it from love.
Well, you know, a lot of these guys have been, we started working out in January, and, I mean, they've been running agilities and stuff since. I mean, they came into camp in pretty good shape, and we've just kind of been adding on to that, so.
Yeah, it's developed more and more to a year-round thing now. Almost every sport has turned to that, whether it's volleyball, baseball. I mean, there is no off-season technically.
Well, that's the program coaches got going on. That, well, even the kids yesterday, we played the number one team overall, Alaska, right? And we weren't even supposed to. I think in some papers they had them by 60 or 70 points. And you could see the difference. We played with these kids. It's 6-0 at the end of the first quarter.
That's an accomplishment in itself, right there.
So we're in the ball game, and there wasn't a time that Jake or Tyler felt like we couldn't play with them. But the difference you see is when kids are in a program year round, and I'm going to speak outside of myself here a little bit from Kodiak perspective, from where you guys are in the lower 48, the kids have realized even before a lot of the adults in any of the professional positions, even some at the school, that how important now, most of the admin that's there now, of course, all of them will support that. But now they realize the importance of a year-round training program and the difference of having a, for example, the team we played, they start running and learning the high school offense when they're 10, 11 years old. So they run that offense, and they're in a year-round program for many years, even before. And for us, you know, I think the fringes like your show's touching on, like Dr. Burke's touching on, those are what we want to learn. Those are the parts that, yeah, we want to install the year-round program, which never, or at least from what the kids told me, did not exist before right now. And
that's
so
the sports we're in. I mean, there's places like where I was coaching. I mean, here in even Ocoee, Orlando, Winter Garden area, those coaches are running offenses and defenses of their, you know, prospective high schools.
Right. Yeah, and they see the importance also of the weight room yesterday. It was their comment, not mine, that they say, you know, if we're in there year-round in the weight room and we're 20, 30 pounds of muscle better, you know, we hold a block longer, we stop a tackle 2 yards sooner. You know, we're following the other direction on our tackles, not the wrong way.
Without a weight room, you're missing 1/3 of the whole sport. I mean, that's where you spend the off season. So technically, the weight room is the field when you're not on the field. I mean,
when you were at JU, can you give Tyler and Jake kind of what your year-round daily routine was, even in off season?
Well, it was nothing like compared, and they lie. It's not 2 days; it's 3 days too. They just lie, make you feel better. When you're actually in off season, there's two workouts that consist. There's an agility workout that works on your hips and flexing, and then a weight training workout. That's usually a 2-a-days is for your off season. Once you return from off season and summer training, You have goals that you set before, or as the season ended. So you set goals with the training coaches of how much weight you were going to gain, 40 times, et cetera. And then you were left kind of to your own devices if you didn't stay on campus. And you had to do those routines because, you know, when you got back, you got tested. And so you're tested as the first day you're back. And so it's tested in the weight room, tested on the track, on the field, everything else. So it's 2 days in the off season. It's 3 days in camp. And then the season starts, and you know it's 4 days a week practice and play.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you, to sum it up, I have been tired in my lifetime. But then I've been tired in my lifetime. And my roommate, I'll never forget, his legs stopped working. We would just be walking over to the cafeteria, and he would just fall down for no reason. And he was the number one recruit from Cardinal Gibbons, down there by you, Doc.
Yeah.
Cardinal Gibbons High School. And he ended up quitting. He made the first 2 weeks of two-a-days and then just packed his shit and went home. Don't excuse my language. But he just packed his stuff and went home. After we had to help him up the stairs to get into the room after the first couple weeks, he was done. And he was a tough kid. And he nope, I'm done. I can't walk anymore. And he just called it quits. So I would tell you that your traveling perhaps is training for the next level. If you're looking to go to that level, because I'm sure both of you got the talent to do so.
Yeah, we're just I don't know, just kind of keeping our options open.
You guys see it that way? You're seeing a road for college for you guys?
I'm not really sure. I'm on the fence about playing college ball.
Yeah. Keeping our doors open, it's something I would consider, but I'm not really sure right now. I don't know a whole lot about it, especially being from here. We don't really know. Not a whole lot of people go anywhere out of Kodiak for sports.
Mm. I would tell you it was some of the best times of my life. And, you know, Doc spoke to the essence of living with your teammates, you know, when you're traveling. And to live almost as the first time as an adult away from everyone else on your own, but you still are surrounded by your brothers, that's a different feeling. And it was so unique to be able to, we were always back at school 2 months before everybody else. And so the campus was technically empty and it would just be us. And, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, uniform runs down, you know, starting our whole day doing 3 days together. That's a time I'll probably remember and love for the rest of my life of that kind of playing. You know, it's even different on the other level, but I don't know, that brotherhood that you feel in high school can continue to, you know, college. So I mean, I don't know. I loved it. I'd encourage you to, if they offer a route to the free education, then you got to take that these days.
Yeah. We're working on it with them. And, some of us in the room probably need to do a little better in the classroom. You know me, Adam, I'm going to be.
Are they only making A's and B's?
No, we could, I don't want to name any names.
No,
at all. we're going to track Jake and call him out on the air every week and see how he's doing.
I'm going to interrupt and ask Doc if I can, why there's a head shrinker in the room, a professional world renowned head shrinker in the room, not just me, it professes to be one. Why the hesitation, you think, Doc? Why the keep my options open, not so sure, even though, I mean, I know he's got the talent, the size, I know the young man next to him also can play. Why the hesitation?
You asking me why they have hesitation?
What do you think? I just analysis side, because I know there's something there.
Well, I mean, I think you got to ask them, but, you know, I think that everybody has to kind of choose the path. Do you see that as an attainable goal? And even if it is, growing up on an island the way you are, is that home? You know, for a lot of young men, the idea of leaving their home, I mean, I grew up on a little barrier island myself, but and it's a tough one. Am I still there?
Yep.
Okay. You know, what are your dreams after high school? You know, are they college? Are they to go into the workforce? Is this just a activity for you right now? Because I think that you guys are, like I've said it some more times, you know, after Adam told me your story, you, with what you're going through to play your sport, it implies a level of dedication and discipline that if you were to apply it somewhere else, you'd be sure to succeed. And this is a proving ground and a training ground for success. I mean, the average kid who gets up, watches TV, has a sandwich, does a couple of, you know, chores and then goes back to bed, has no idea, you know, the level of dedication that you are building in yourself, the skill to be that dedicated, the ability to function at the level you're functioning. It's almost like basic training before they send you off to war. For you guys, this is the basic training for life. And it's phenomenal. It's fantastic.
I like that, Kurt. You pointed that out. I called you Coach Doc. On the idea of the dedication that they show, almost as if it's nothing. You know, I ask, you know, how was the travel? Oh, that's just what you do. And so this arduous travel, they're so dedicated to it. You guys are amazing, and you do that. And then when I heard, I'm not sure, I'm like, these young men are dedicated to something. I don't see an unsure bone in Jake's body, honestly, and I haven't seen you guys play like that either. That's why I brought that up. Thank you, Doc, for that response.
What we're learning, I didn't hear the last part. Did you just ask Doc for a response? I don't mean to jump in.
No, thank him for it.
Just a few things that you said, Dr. Burke, we'd sure like to expand on that. If there's a routine we can get into, like you had already mentioned, having them relax a little bit. Because some of them, if you let them, they'll dance and listen to music or the whole time on the boat when they should be, you know, we like that it takes their mind off the ride and keeps them from getting too sick. We had some guys sick on this last one. And, you know, is that something we should graduate into is throughout the ride, keep them relaxed as long as possible and then gradually come out of that or just stay as relaxed as possible on the boat and then try to ramp out of that for an hour or two? Is there some time frame we should pay attention to mentally for them?
Yeah, I don't think, I think that if you even do it for, you get some, and I'd be happy to see if I could put something together for you guys and get it to you via Adam. But, you know, some things that you guys can really use to get your level of performance of your body into a nicely, deeply relaxed, restorative state. You know, sleep is when the body restores itself. It's when it heals. It's when it recharges, so to speak. So if you can't actually sleep because you have rough seas or you can't sleep because there's just too much going on, learning how to get into kind of a semi-trance state and get that body into that deep, healing, restorative state and letting your body recharge its energy levels is huge. You know, and I'll be happy to put something together for you guys because you deserve it. You know, you guys really do. And that would be great. What about, can I change the subject and ask a question?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Just curious.
Adam's show.
From Alaska, are there pros or anybody who made it from Alaska into the pros that you know of?
We had one guy a few years ago. He went Division I. He played for Tennessee Volunteers. But other than that, yeah, he didn't go anywhere after that. He just kind of was a second string the whole way and ended up just not playing.
There's a kid with South Dakota State right now, a quarterback that came out of Anchorage, I think.
Any pro?
No, he's still at South Dakota State. Matter of fact, I heard last night they upset somebody big.
Yeah,
Kansas. I think it was Kansas. And he's actually playing quarterback for them, but South Dakota State is sort of in that. I don't know. I can't answer that, but.
No pros. Nobody that has gone on to the NFL from Alaska at all?
No.
If we only had a device that we could research that idea.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I know there's some Alaska athletes like that Trajan Langdon. Isn't Boozer from Juneau?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Carlos Boozer.
There is some basketball players.
Yeah, there's some basketball players in that. There's some guys, I know we went up to the All-Alaska camp this year in Anchorage, and there's quite a few guys that are playing, you know, small-time college football around the nation. So they do come out of here.
Oh, we got a whole list. Yeah, Carlos Boozer, John Baker. Oh, yeah, man, a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, and why, Doc? I know we got sidetracked. They're trying to wonder. Well, what were you thinking?
Reaching out to these guys. You know, you guys go through have so much hardship that I would wonder, you know. I mean, as we're sitting here talking, it kind of crossed my mind. So I actually used that iPhone idea, Adam. And NFL players born in Alaska. I got 9 guys. Fairbanks, Anchorage. Have you guys thought to reach out to these guys, maybe?
No, we haven't. I see a lot of them are from, 80s.
They'd be sympathetic. I wonder if some of these guys would understand what you go through and might...
Doc, I'm going to answer your question. I'll probably get in trouble for this. But I'm going to tell you, so far, it's funny. We've gotten more money and sympathy on our GoFundMe site. And sympathetic, hey, we're not looking for that. I mean, but what the players appreciate and going, hey, you guys keep it up. I would say 95% of the support has come from out of state. Because they understand it, to be very candid with you. I think some of the folks, even in Kodiak, are like, yeah, it's just the way it is. They've done it before, so they should just be happy and keep doing it. Whether it's good or not, it's sort of, I'm looking at people react and go, yeah,
it's the norm. Well, that's what we do, right, Doc? We accept the norm, and then we assimilate it and normalize what the norm is, no matter how outlandish it may be.
That's what everybody does. That's how everybody adapts. But I would wonder, you know, you guys are paying the dues and you're earning the right to ask. You know, I always tell young players, you know, sometimes when I used to work with some of the minor leaguers, you know, and you know, it's a tough road, especially in baseball, minor leaguer, because there could be 300 guys on the field, and you know that the scouting team is watching two of them. The other guys are there just to keep the two guys that they're really interested busy. But, guys that, like you, that at this young age are putting out so much, you know, you've earned the right to ask. You know, you really have. You have. I don't think it's like what you were saying before, David, you know, like, you know, you don't want to ask or you don't want to feel like you're looking for sympathy. That's not sympathy. When you say, hey, I'm working my butt off here, I want you to join me in my adventure.
Right. Wow, that makes sense.
Mission. You guys are on a mission, and there might be guys out there willing to join you.
We hope so.
I'm here. You got me on board.
Yeah, I was going to say, thanks to this show and some of the responses we got from people watching and listening to this show, it's interesting. You know, I'm hoping that some of those that are making decisions that affect our team are making proactive decisions and not just decisions, because that's what it says on paper. And, you know, some people don't know what it's like. And I'm talking about outside. I'm talking about, as Doc mentioned, the folks that don't play. When you work your butt off all year long for 300 days to play 8 days, because we don't play 10 here, we play 8. You know, every one of those 8 days that you work all year long for is very, very precious. And something Coach McGuire mentioned last night is when you're in a year-round program, it creates that buy-in, that accountability, because you don't want to work out all year and not play well. And when you don't, and that another benefit of the year-round program, the kids actually measure and see their progress. But I think that the other, to get back to your point on the culture, coming from the outside and only being here for a short time, that's the gap. I think, Adam, you touched on it, Dr. Burke touched on it, the gap in the understanding. And gosh, you brought me back to Senator Dr. Burke when you said, you know, you kids have earned the right to ask questions. They've earned the right. That speaks to us.
Yeah, it's not a handout. I mean, I wish I could change GoFundMe to, like, would you please? Like, seriously? I mean, the same jerseys for 12 years. I'm still waiting on the jersey company that's going to step up and donate the jerseys to these boys so I can give them a ad read at the beginning of every one of these for the rest of the season. But if you're out there, please reach out to Cognitive Rampage Podcast at Gmail if you're willing to donate. What do you need, Coach? 50 jerseys, 60 jerseys?
Yeah, I mean, 60 jerseys would be amazing. In fact, yesterday we got a penalty. We had
We didn't have enough jerseys.
Yeah, we had a couple guys get dinged, and then we put a guy in online, and we didn't have enough jerseys.
So they flagged us yesterday because we had to put a sub in, and we didn't have the right number. We put a 91 in on the line, and they got us.
Oh, Mike, 18 hours on the bus. Jersey, you're talking about a number right now? You're talking about a number right now, referee? How, man, way to hold it together, though, Coach. Yeah. That's why if I'm in the booth, I'm going to have to be virtual.
Well, you talked about Cordell last week. Did you know we had to try to get an XL jersey over his pads? Because that's all we had.
What is he, 6'6", 300 pounds?
Yeah, 6'5", 305. And Coach Adam, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry because we were going to have to start cutting up the new practice jersey we were trying to put on.
You got Jake and Tyler holding on to the back end of the jersey, trying to pull it down over the pants.
Yeah.
Blank jerseys with Velcro numbers, and then peel them off and put them on.
Yeah, that's what we're going to have to do. Unfortunately, a couple of jerseys that Coach was able to order, they showed up with black numbers. So we're blue and gold. So
okay, so we need blue and gold jerseys, 60 of them. Somebody out there, look, we're getting about 10,000 listens a week on this. So I don't know, you do the math in your marketing department there, but I'm telling you that 60 jerseys is way worth the cost of, what do you got, another 5 games, Coach?
Four more.
All right, so you got 4 games where we're going to do a show each
plus
time.
Plus playoffs. Yeah,
plus playoffs, and we're on the iTunes podcast list. So, you know, at 4 more, you're looking at 40,000 possible ears hearing me read your jersey or T-shirt or whatever company. That's well worth the 60 jerseys that cost you $3.80.
Yeah, and we appreciate it. I know that's been the fundraising piece of the life we talked about. It's been with the money spent on travel, it's hard to supplement that equipment cost. I know we had to do a bunch of helmets this year and new shoulder pads and stuff. You know, the safety gear comes first before the looking good, I guess. So.
Yeah, definitely, Coach. You know, I'm going to circle back to, you know, Dr. Jan Bird is also a master hypnotist and hypnosis, too. I'm not really even doing the show, but, no, that was a bad joke. But anyway, I'm a true believer in the meditation and that hypnosis side and him putting that together. And I'm going to reference, I don't know if anybody's read Phil Jackson's book. What is it, 12 Rings, 85 Rings, whatever, 11 Rings, the name of that book that he wrote. But it's an amazing book about how he talked about having to coach all the personalities on the team from Dennis Rodman to Michael Jordan. And he was a Zen type coach. You know, he brought in a lot of Eastern and Native American practices into the team itself. And he would do meditation. They would do these things. And I'm sorry, but no one can argue with Phil Jackson and whatever his process is. Hence the name of the book, 80 Million Rings. But, you know, so I like that notion of maybe trying to work that with the team, you know, the hypnosis idea, that meditation and, you know, adding that to the travel. I know, you know, as a young man, it would be hard for me not to laugh and Google and think that I'm doing all this Zen stuff. But it's really powerful. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, that we would certainly be, would love to try it. I mean, anything that could give us an extra edge would be fantastic.
Yeah, I'll be happy to get that out to you in a day or so. She'll have it. I'll get it to you, I guess, through Adam. But, you know, I think that the more you can get yourselves into that kind of state, you know, like, I mean, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, everybody called it the zone. you know, getting into the zone, whether it was the zen of golf or getting into the zone when you're in a batting cage or out on the field. You know, Singletary, what's his name? The middle linebacker for Chicago. Singletary, what was his name again?
Singletary.
You ever watch his eyes? You could see this guy was in his zone when he was there. He was absorbing every bit of information that was going on around him. And I think that when you guys, as you guys continue to grow by using some of these techniques to deepen your relaxation, but also to expand your focus on the field, you'll find it you'll find them helpful. So, you know, I'll do my part there. And like you said, Adam, maybe we can get some other people who are listening to do their part. You know, I mean, this traveling is crazy. They don't have flights or anything that, I mean, you know, the kids, do they boat it in or do they fly it in?
Go ahead, Adam, tell them.
Well, yeah. All right, Alaska Airlines, you want some more? Raven Airlines, I heard that too. Charging $500 a piece in your renegotiation from $1,000 a piece at 60 football players and on 10, 20 cheerleaders. So for 80 people, thank you for the $500 reduction and charging the boys and the girls of Kodiak the wonderful discounted price of $500 per head at nearly 30-something thousand dollars a week to travel. So thank you for not doing a damn thing, Alaska Airlines. Perhaps maybe you would like to do something. I don't know, help out the boys. Maybe help them at least get to the North Pole 1 week. Do that for us, Alaska Airlines. I don't know how much it costs you, but for the love of God, I mean, what is it? What's the North Pole ride, guys? 18 hours?
It's a 18-hour ferry, right? 18-hour ferry and a 12-hour bus ride after that.
What? Come on, Alaska Airlines. Quit playing. Like, quit playing, man. I mean, these boys, I like it. Coach, or Dr. Bird has said it right. These boys have earned, I think, one flight from you, for a week. Please. They've earned that flight. They've earned that flight for me. So yeah, Coach, that's pretty much how it goes down.
Is that the only airline that's up there?
It was Raven, right? Raven's the private one, and then Alaska Airlines actually owns Raven too.
Yeah, there's another one, right? Aero's private. I don't know them, Adam. Raven is one of them, and they just said whatever the posted. Raven apparently just said, no, whatever our posted price is online is the price.
Well, thank you.
And Alaska Airlines, at least they tried to come down, I guess, a little bit.
Well, I remember our last podcast. That's the reason I got specific about it, because our last podcast, you were kind enough to be like, well, they did give us a reduced price, but we never said it. And truly, they took it from $1,000 a ticket to $500 a ticket. And it made it sound like they did you a wonderful favor by cutting it in half. But that's why I wanted to be clear and reiterate their wonderful love that they gave these hardworking boys and girls from that high school. Young men and women, sorry.
Well, based on our conversation, you know, and if we look at, it's cheaper for us to fly to Florida and play than it is to fly in Alaska and play right now.
You should fly to Florida and say, look, guys, we flew to Florida and played a football game. All right, you guys always stay at my house. Come crash here. It's better than the storage locker rooms they're shoving you in on the wrestling mats to sleep.
Oh yeah, the guy said it was pretty warm in there last night.
Yeah, it was pretty hot. We couldn't shut the lights off, so it was nice and bright all night.
So now you got to try to sleep on wrestling mats at 150 degrees with the lights on after you travel 14 hours sleeping on a boat.
It was actually, we didn't have a wrestling mat last night. The guys had to sleep on the weight room floor.
Oh, that's freaking sanitary. That's wonderful. Oh, do you not travel with like a 5-gallon bucket of sanitizer?
You guys are amazing human beings. I can't imagine, you know, the dedication you have to this sport and to your team and to Kodiak, to represent Kodiak on these trips and play as hard as you do and put yourself through this ordeal, you know, is, you are a very amazing young man. I said it before, but I'll say it again. I can tell you, I don't even say that to a lot of professional or minor league players, but You guys are amazing young men. I think you really deserve to have some sponsors step up for you. You know, whether it be sponsoring you on your uniform, sponsoring you on your airfare, you guys deserve it. I don't know who's out there listening, but it'd be nice if somebody was and stepped up.
And speaking of amazing young men, we'll get into the football here, coaches, and Doc, if you want to, we got another couple minutes before we turn into a pumpkin. But Tyler, you to get your full name out there, Tyler Whitfield, the senior receiver that you see sitting in front of there wearing the baseball shirt, scored the first Kodiak touchdown against Saldotna in 4 years this past weekend. So hats off to you. If I had a cool little like sound making machine, I would do like some cheering or some or something. But we're not quite that advanced in the cognitive cave yet, but we do have mixers, but we'll just make it up. There you go. So congrats to you, Tyler. How'd that feel putting it in, man? Was it long pass? Did you break a tackle and take it 50? How'd it go?
We had 8 seconds left on the clock, and we just ran 22 verts, and my buddy Andreas just threw the ball up the air, and like, some guy actually tweeted that there was a sea of DB back in the end zone. I just went up and grabbed it. So I went down and looked around. I'm in the end zone.
Just like, look at your face lighting up, man. You don't know if you want to play college football. Forget you. Yeah, man. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Right at the end of the half, Adam, he went up and got it.
Right at the halftime and put it down. Oh, man. I love it. Jake, any plays stick out with you this Saturday?
I'm not real sure on my stats, but I know I had a good handful of tackles, and I didn't have any forced fumbles or anything, but I had a pretty good game.
Yeah, you cost me some money last week, man.
Why? Are you betting on me?
No, I did. Well, you guys, I got to make my donation there today, but remember, I put $25 per turnover, $5 per sack and tackle for loss.
Oh, all right.
He texted me the stats, Coach Davis did.
Every play a minute.
Yeah, so it cost him about $100, $140, something like that.
Well, we thank you for that.
I hope to spend another $500 if you keep it up that way, but I got to put something on the offense. I think I'm gonna keep the same thing with the $25 per turnover that goes our way. I'm gonna keep, and I'm gonna have to add another $25 for every touchdown you guys put in too.
What if I catch it with one hand?
I'll call ESPN.
No, you take money off for that. He's got to use two hands.
That's true. You lose $25 for every one-handed catch. How about that? No? Oh, man. But, so, Jake, you balled out good. Any hits, still echoing in your head?
Yeah, actually, there's one. We're in a double gun, so the inside guys are on the guards and tackles, so it's just one-on-one in the center. They're in a dive play straight at me. He just opened up right in front of me. Just filling the hole. Just, it was a good hit, a good solid hit. Drove him back for, I don't know if it was a tackle for loss, but it was right on the line.
Yeah, we covered him up in that. You know how fast the A-gap opens up, Adam? You played the position. It opened up just him in the back.
I love living through you every week, Jake. This is awesome. I get to live through him, Doc. This is how I still play football.
Yeah. Well, I remember how you tried to play football again. What that cost you?
It cost me surgery.
Yeah.
Then my wife was the surgical assistant on, man, when I tried to go back and play again. Man, that was a pain in the hip. Yeah, that was. Oh, man. Thank you, Doc. I'm going to shed a tear now. No, but I miss it, man. And so got a good couple shots. I love those inside hits, too, man. You know, that's what I used to do. We weren't really meditating or anything back then. But, man, I said back then in reference football. For me, I used to play the music from the movie Last of the Mohicans. That was like the music I liked, and so before game time, that was like the last thing in my ears. And I used to sit there and just imagine making the tackle, like form tackling over and over and over again, kind of like the hypnosis kind of thing, Doc was talking about. You know, when you're trying to put yourself in that state, just imagining yourself repeating that hit over and over, or that catch, that jump up, and that grab in the sea of DBs for the touchdown. You know, you just keep re-picturing it in your mind as you try to recenter yourself. Is that kind of something? Am I on the right line there, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when you talk about improving performance, especially at the level you guys are playing, which is a high level, being able to create some visualization, see yourself running those patterns or making those moves or doing those spin turns to get into where you got to get in to make a tackle. All of those things, you know, putting yourself into a trance-like state or a deeply relaxed state makes a huge difference. Because, and I can tell you now, the guys I've worked with at all levels of performance, that's what they do. And the reason for that is your brain at some level doesn't know the difference between you doing it and you visualizing it. Your muscle memory, what the research shows is your muscle memory, when you cognitively or mentally go through a routine or a pattern or whatever, your body remembers it. It's kind of like if you think of Olympic skiers. I had the opportunity to work with an Olympic competitor who was a skier when I was up in New York. And basically what would happen is after she would do a run, she would then run that run through her mind hundreds of times. She would keep doing it over and over. So by the time she did her next run and her next run, you know, even before she actually did her competitive run, she'd gone down that mountain 100 times in her mind, not just the one time that her body went down. If you can run through your patterns even, or run through your moves, almost in slow motion, but as you're doing it, memorize that muscle memory that it took to do it, and then replay it over and over again, even on the boat with the, you know, with a set of headphones as you're heading out there. I think you'll find when you get there, your muscle memory will get reinforced, even at a time when you're lying stiffly on in a Denny's booth.
That's funny. In a Denny's booth.
Yeah.
Yeah, we wish they were as big as Denny's booth.
Yeah.
I tried to lay on one, and I couldn't because my shoulders won't fit between the table and the bench. So, yeah.
Well, yeah. Davey, try to envision yourself fitting into the booth. Replay it over and over.
Yeah, I don't think you want to do that.
I don't think anyone wants to see that.
You are one with the Denny's booth. This is not Moons Over My Hemi. You will sit. I've been working on the hypnosis point, Doc.
It's good. It's coming along. Coming along.
All right, I'm getting there.
I like how Dr. Burke is positive with you, you know.
Oh, only because we're live.
That's, yeah.
The reason he's lasted as a mentor in my life so long is he's honest with me and he tells me my bullshit. Those are the people you got to keep around you. You can't keep the yes men around you. But he does it so eloquently. That's how he can do it, because he doesn't necessarily just say you're full of shit. He'll nicely tell me I'm full of shit. Or I'm making the wrong mistake. All positive, like. It's very masterful.
No, yeah. When you've been a therapist for 30 years, you learn how to do that. I still haven't seen that applied in my home life, though. That's the hard part.
Don't you have a daughter that's graduated or graduating or that just went off or right? Yeah.
I got a son. My son is up at USF, and my daughter is at the New York Film Academy.
Shout out to Troy and Bree.
So they're on their way.
That's great. Congrats. And please extend my congratulations to them both.
I will. Thank you.
Yeah, they're good kids, man. Troy was a big-time pitcher for a while. And, you know, he was he's throwing some heat back in the day, wasn't he, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, for his age group, he was doing very well. He enjoyed it, you know, but he actually decided that he liked to switch from sports. You know, he had worked with, and through my contacts, I knew a number of professional baseball players. So he had a chance to actually train with them and get a sense of the discipline, the mental discipline that it took. And because I had worked with some of these professional players that have now become professional coaches, as he was exposed to that at a very young age, and that brought his game up quite a bit. But it just wasn't his passion. So then he moved on to other interests.
And wrote a book at 17, right?
Right.
Yeah. God.
You see Jake's face?
Yeah, he quit pitching and then locks himself in the room and writes a book. I just wrote my first one. My God, he was 17. He's such a bright kid.
He wouldn't tell you he wrote a book. He would tell you he's writing a manuscript. And it's a work in process, and he's a very, very humble kid. So he doesn't talk about it, doesn't even like to have anybody talk about it, so I shouldn't even be discussing it, but I know you brought it up. So.
Oh, Uncle Adam can do so.
That's right.
kids, listen to you. I want to be a kid. Players, fellas, any coach, any questions for Doc of yourself? Any wonders? Not that you have to have any. Don't think you're on the spot. You're not being called in class or anything.
Not that I can think of on the top of my head. I don't really have any questions.
No, you ask them because you don't know when you're going to get.
Yeah, that's true.
Is this chance?
Yeah, I just don't know what to ask. Like, anything mentally that you could do to prepare for a game, like, to help you calm down. As far as the meditation and stuff goes, like, I don't know.
How do you meditate? That's the question I'm hearing. How do you meditate?
Yeah, just anything that helps you calm down, like, before a game, settle your nerves, get all the jitters out.
I think there's a couple things that are important. One of the most important things really is, again, to realize that your emotions follow your physiology and your physiology follows your emotion. There's a, what's called peak performance level of anxiety, in that as anxiety goes up slightly, as it slowly goes up, performance actually improves. But then it hits a peak point, and then the anticipation or the anxiety actually starts to get in the way of your performance, you know. And baseball, you know, you get guys that will, choke, or in sports, guys that will freeze up in different situations. I think what you got to do is listen to your body. When you feel that physiology increasing a little bit, it's okay to say to yourself, I'm a little too hyped up. Let me do some slow, deep breathing. Let me change my carbon dioxide to oxygen level, so that it slows it down a little bit for you. What tends to happen for when we get too anxious before a game or before any kind of exertion is we get into this kind of deep, or this very, well, it's not deep, but this kind of shallow, rapid breathing where we're sucking in more oxygen and not blowing off enough carbon dioxide. So what you want to kind of do is take a nice deep breath in, hold your breath to a count of four, and then slowly breathe out. What that does is it lets your body build up more carbon dioxide and lets the body relax. If you've ever watched a pitcher, I know you got a baseball shirt on. If you ever watch a pitcher, right before he throws the pitch, you'll always see him take that deep breath in and then slowly exhale. That's what I'm talking about. That kind of, if you know, it's still baseball season. If you can catch a game, just watch a pitcher, because they have it. They have it probably the worst. Or a baseball player, you'll see them take their foot and step out of the box and take that slow breath and then slowly breathe out. You're going to create a mental discipline for yourself. You can do that before every play so that you're relaxed but at a high level of performance. You just take that breath in, hold it for a count of four, and then slowly breathe out, and then, you know, say to yourself, good to go. Give yourself a little mantra. You know, whatever mantra works for you that gives you a sense of feeling pumped right before that play, right before that snap or whatever. Each play, you're refocusing yourself just the way a pitcher refocuses himself before every pitch. I mean, that's just a little tidbit, but you might find that useful.
Thank you.
Yeah, note to self there, Doc. That's good stuff. I do. You always see those pitchers. They'll sit up and right there just before it. Yeah, those are the top trained guys. Thank you so much for that.
You know, you're able to meet with professionals, the skiers, right before they start their run. Everybody will bring that physiology down. Just like it's getting them past that little, where the anxiety is so high that it's going to get in the way of the performance, it backs it down a little bit just below that peak so that you're at the peak of your performance without it going over the other end and getting in the way.
Yeah, I understand.
Nice. Oh, well, yeah, we were...
You writing notes, Coach?
Yeah, I'm going to have to explain that. Coach couldn't hear that last peak, but I thought it was interesting. I know that the guys and I heard it. Taking yourself down so that, I think he was saying, so that when you reach that peak, you're not going over the edge of that peak, but you're doing that so that that occurs during performance, not necessarily. I think that's what we're understanding.
No pressure, not that.
Right.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's funny when you watch these very fast offenses now on some of the teams that they use. You know, there's no huddle offenses. A big part of it is so they can't change players. Another part of it, though, is they've trained themselves to catch their mental breath between plays, but the other team may not be quite that disciplined. They've got to catch their mental breath as much as their physical breath. And so conditioning yourself to catch your mental breath and go is huge. You know, just that quick breath out and good to go, or whatever the statement is you want to use for yourself. And then you'll actually feel your eyes focus more when you do that. Mm-hmm. You'll actually feel a greater sense of focus.
Nice.
That's interesting. You know, Doc, one of the questions that I had in our conversation here is, as you write recommendations as we go forward with this, and we appreciate that, is the implementation of it. I think, how do you get kids to buy in to the seriousness of this experience?
I think you mean the seriousness of using the meditation and the
right. I think freshman and sophomore kids, it's kind of hard to get them to take anything serious.
Right.
You know, when you start to implement meditation and that, how do you get them to buy into that? Because it's the benefits of it are exponential. So
yeah. You know, you've got a very dedicated group, so I think it might be easier for you than for some of these programs that have a very everybody's on the team and everybody gets the trophy at the end mentality. You've got some pretty focused. If you go through what your kids go through, they are committed. They are dedicated. I think showing them even, you know, some of the stuff on the internet that the professional athletes are using, you know, every single one you can share with them. There is not a team in professional sports that does not have a sports psychologist on that team.
Yeah.
Not one. Everyone has somebody either on retainer to be called in when needed, or, you know, and so I think you share that with the kids. And you show them some of the footage of the professional athletes who are at the, you know, the high level, the Olympic athletes, at their age, you know, 15, 16, some of these ice skaters or the divers especially. And you know, there's never a moment you don't see them with headphones in their ears when they're walking around by the pool or they're before they get on the slope or, you know, in situations like that. And I think it's important to realize that. And if there's even a commercial like that, isn't there a Beats commercial or one of the commercials, the headphones, where the athlete puts the headphones on to tune out with everything around them?
Yeah.
That'll bring them to the idea that sports is an internal event. You know, how well you perform is an internal event. I always tell that to my players. You know, it's you're trained to perform, but so is everybody else. But the one who's got that internal discipline, and that's where the imagery and the relaxation and the hypnosis gives them that little bit of extra edge. And you just start them, like you said, freshman, sophomore. You start them out young. You say, look, guys, this might feel weird to you, but there isn't a professional athlete out there that doesn't do this.
Right, and that's, you know, a wise man once said that, you know, when you're uncomfortable, that's where change happens. So,
that's me. Right, I said that. That's right, man. Uncomfortable is where the change is. Well, Doc, thank you for that shout-out, Coach. Coach, you're talking about these athletes, and I just took on a new client, professional MMA fighter Julian Williams, and I'm his direct mental trainer now. So even fighters are bringing in, you know, these mental trainers like myself. There's some guys in the UFC too, you know, that are doing it, and it's even branching over into fighting. I mean, and for me, that's the most contact individual sport there is. And so when I'm working meditation with Julian Williams in a ring or something, that's real. And I would like to see any one of those 9th or 10th graders make fun of Julian Williams.
I don't think they would. I don't.
I tread lightly.
Yeah.
I think that's a great question, though, Coach, because that is difficult. Because it does, to some people, has this, this goofy connotation or something about it. And even me, when I first got into it years ago, I approached it the same way, you know. And there's so many different ways to do it, I think. There's a lot of different avenues to apply meditation or hypnosis. But, Doc, and speaking to everybody, I kind of found my own way with meditation rather than following, like, a sequence of something. Any suggestions there, Doc, on whether, you know, there's a – I know you're going to send them a thing, but any maybe approach to it, you know, that you, should they stick with, or should it be more individual?
I think that there's a learning curve there. I think first you start by, you know, being taught how to get yourself into a deeply relaxed state, how to get the body to let go. And you can, you know, do kind of a guided kind of muscle relaxation, visualization, and then self-suggestion. The goal is, remember, not to have to do that meditation, but to be actually able to learn that skill so well that when you take that breath on the field, you're there. You're in that focused place. You are where that meditation that you practice. So you think of doing the tapes as the practice, like you would practice for a game, and then just applying that skill like you would the skills you've practiced during the game. Everybody finds their own specific mantra or piece that works for them. But the skill of learning how to get the body to get into that state, you know, that takes practice. It doesn't happen the first time. A lot of laughs, a lot of giggles. You know, when I work with young baseball players, travel baseball teams, high school level, there's always a couple of kids who, you know, just cannot accept it, cannot really go with it, and that's fine. But I start seeing some of the other players start to use it and say, wow, that really worked. I felt better. It builds credibility over time.
Yeah, I think, I mean, over time, you know, when the they see the benefits of it, you get the buy-in, and then it helps bring everybody else along. So
I tell you, I like it because if they start doing it when they enter the program, Adam, you touched on this earlier about developing the program. If it's just part of their routine, part of their two-a-days, part of their practice. And Doc, does that make it a little more subtle in a good way, for that just to be part of their practice of something every player does, not just in a situation where we're trying to correct something, but it sounds like what you're saying, this is an everyday thing. This is part of your practice.
Yes, this is a performance. This is a performance enhancing skill. So you would want to do it just the way you would do a ladders drill, you know, every day. You want to do, you know, a 20-minute, 25-minute, and I usually try to keep it around that long. That's about the right amount of time for a young player. 20, 25-minute kind of experience of just learning how to get to a deeply relaxed, comfortable state and give themselves positive suggestion about performance or seeing themselves perform, you know, at a high peak level, you know, performing what I call peak performance. And you say, guys, this is what, you know, there isn't an athlete that doesn't do this. You know, you may not see it on television, but I guarantee you there isn't an athlete who doesn't do it. And I know for a fact, of course I can't name players or names or teams or anything else, but there's a number of teams where I could tell you when those guys are on the plane flying and they got their headphones on, a lot of them, especially the pitchers and the guys that their individual performances would be called upon that game, that don't use these techniques, especially when they're on a road trip and going from city to city. they pop on the headphones and they just go where they got to go.
You know, Doc, even from a program standpoint, I know the benefits that learning to do that will apply in those kids' everyday life too, not just in football. Being able to calm themselves down in anxious situations, you know, learning that at a young age, that's going to really rub off into their everyday life as well.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, this is just a skill that you can generalize into any situation. You know, even if they face a rough sea and they've got to calm themselves down. You know, and it may help with seasickness a little bit. I mean, it's a skill that you can apply in a lot of different settings. But you're going to get that airline out there to comp them, aren't you, Adam?
Yeah, I'm working on them.
18 hours. I write you a letter. I write letters for people who want to take their dogs on planes. I think we should be able to get, 18, 20 dedicated athletes on a plane. I mean, we got to find a way to make that happen.
All right. We're going to keep digging. I'm in. I appreciate that letter. That's definitely influential. Letters, petitions,
thank you.
Everything.
Thank you very much, Doc.
You're welcome.
Well, guys, we're going to wrap it up here. Again, thanks for cramming us in at the King Salmon Motel. A little shout out to the King Salmon Motel somewhere in the middle of nowhere, Alaska.
No, not too bad. It's all about the
best breakfast burritos in town.
The only breakfast burrito in town.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
is it a fish burrito?
Yeah, is it a fish burrito, right? Is it a salmon burrito?
Moose burrito.
Yeah. That's amazing, man. Amazing that you're up there. It's so cool.
Doc, thank you so much. That's Dr. Jan Burt, clinical psychologist, sports psychologist, blah, acronym. You can find him at drburt.com in Boca Raton, Florida. Also has some offices in Port St. Lucie, I believe, right?
Mm-hmm. And West Palm Beach.
And West Palm Beach. So you can find those three offices pretty much anywhere in Southeast Florida. So that's drburt.com, clinical psychologist, pain psychologist, acronyms. Any specific way I'm supposed to say it, Doc?
Yeah, well, that's fine. Doesn't, just a good guy. Leave it at that.
Good guy. Good guy. My friend, my mentor, one of the kindest guys that I know, and one of the best in this field that I've ever met. So. Anybody in that area, if you want to find Dr. If they can get you, aren't you booked out like months or decades in advance?
No, not that bad.
Just a couple months. Oh, man. Well, thanks for joining us, Dr. Burt, Tyler, Jake, Coach McGuire, and Coach Lowry. Appreciate you coming on, and good luck to you coming up this Saturday. And we look forward to chatting with you again, this Sunday again.
Well, it's going to be an interesting one. We're going to North Pole. They're ranked 3 in the state, but literally traveling our longest trip of the year, right?
Yeah.
So.
Hey, man, more for them to lose, right? Man, you young men have nothing else to lose. That's a dangerous person on a football field.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate it.
Guys are awesome. Keep it up. You'll be amazing men.
Thank you.
Young guys, any shout outs? I know I got some Twitter followers in Alaska from a bunch of people. So I want to put your Twitter out there, say hello, that kind of thing.
Yeah, thanks to the coaches and my teammates and the support from the community and you guys for helping us get our voice out and just been a huge help for us.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all the fundraising you're doing, helping us get money to travel, equipment, everything. Thank you so much. We need it.
Yeah. Any Twitter fans yet, guys? You guys getting some?
I got a few. Last time I gave out my Twitter name. I can give it out again if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
I'm Yavorsky, same as it was last time.
One more time. I think you broke up.
I'm Yavorsky, Yavorsky.
And mine is it's Tyler Whitfield, WIETFELD 1.
Tyler Whitfield 1, and what is it? I'm Yavorsky.
Yep.
I'm Yavorsky. Twitter. You guys are getting Twitter famous already and getting Twitter stalkers, so you guys be careful out there, all right? All right. Getting on social media famous, man. Coaches?
Well, yeah, I'd just like to thank Dr. Burt and yourself, Adam, for bringing this on again. And I look forward to this every week. And I'm very excited to talk to Dr. Burt here as we go forward and implement some of these things. And I can barely send a text message, so my Twitter account is pretty, it's not too impressive. So.
What's Twitter? Oh man, yeah, Coach Lauer.
Just thanks, little brother, and thanks, Dr. Burt. It really does make a difference. And the great thing about Kodiak and these kids is, it's not a general statement in the flood of the information that they get hit with every day. It is direct. You get a direct response. You get an immediate reaction with this community, with these kids. And the community supported us a lot through KFL, and appreciate that. And they're doing some things this week. They're trying to, I think they made make an announcement this week where they're trying to match GoFundMe. And so if we, you know, any support there we get's great.
And that's is it the Boys of Kodiak or is it just Boys of Kodiak, right? It's Boys of Kodiak from GoFundMe, just to be clear where everybody's going.
GoFundMe/Boys of Kodiak.
Mm-hmm.
And our Facebook page gets updated quite a bit. We'll have some more pictures on there from the game.
You posted the pictures. Whoever's managing it for you posted the travel pictures. So anybody listen to this, if you want to see the Denny's booth type sleeping things and what the ferry looks like and what that adventure sleeping looks like, they are posted on the Boys of Kodiak's Facebook page. I suggest going there and checking it out. And while you're there, post a comment and put some money up on something. Like we said, we put $25 per turnover, $5 per tackle for loss and sack and for touchdown. So pick something that happens in the game. Make a comment, you know. Every first down, you're going to pay a dollar, whatever. Pick something, add a dollar amount to it, and then people can say, yeah, me too, or add a new one. So that's what we're doing on social media. Go there or just go straight to GoFundMe, /Boys of Kodiak, and help these boys, you know, get some better accommodations for the travel.
We appreciate that, Adam. Thank you for that. It makes a direct difference. There's no fluff here. With every dollar. And the community raises it. The community is full of hardworking people. This is not an easy dollar for anyone, and we know that's the same for everybody out there.
Yeah, and I think one thing is, when you go through that, the negativity creeps in sometimes. And something like this brings, you know, it's a positive thing. It's positive for the kids. And I mean, the more positive things that we can put these guys through, the better. So we really appreciate it.
You know, something for next time, if Dr. Burt has the time, you know, your time, Dr. Burt's time is worth gold to us. And probably, I don't know what the price of gold is, probably a little more than that. But we're, since we are in Alaska, but we you know, some of the culture differences that you see on Kodiak, I mean, the kids are really having to learn at a young age to tune out the social negativity. Because it creeps in so much. Being new to the school, you hear it. You know, you even though the administration there is trying desperately to and in action to change that mindset, we see it popping up everywhere. And even the community, the local sports writer picking against our kids. You know, and it just
what. I don't even say his name. I don't want to give that guy any love or shout out at all. No. Yeah,
okay, I won't.
Don't accidentally say his name. Then people look up that article. So.
Well, it's every week. And I guess they're having fun with a couple other sports writers picking against the home team and doesn't realize that this is this. You know what? At some point it means something. I'm not sure that SportsCenter is going to hire anybody just because in the local paper they picked the right high school team. To win during a certain week.
I was going
to
say, how far in the journalistic career has he gone?
Well, I'm sure you can get a valid opinion from those in our family that are actual, you know.
Real journalists.
But sometimes there are things more important. And you know, we believe and we're openly biased that the kids are
You know what? I would be more than happy to have them on the show so we could talk about how, you know, maybe with Dr. Jambert, how positive his writing is to the influence of these kids that travel through so much treacherous ideas and days and lives. And after all this stuff they put through, that I wonder what kind of positive reinforcement his article writing in the local paper for these kids is. I'm sure it's got to be wonderful for him, right, Doc?
My suggestion would be, is, you know, the best way to get somebody to change their thinking is to invite them along. Why don't you invite them along on if he's a sports writer, why don't you invite him along on an 18-hour trip?
That's outstanding.
And 10 hours on a bus, and then let him cover the team.
You know what? Let's put his ass out there. What's his name? Put his ass out there and let's call him up. What's his name, man? Let's say, you know what? You take the ride to the North Pole and cover the team for real.
His name's Derek Clarkston. He works for the Kodiak Daily Mirror.
There you go. Kodiak Daily Mirror. What's his name? Derek?
Derek Clarkston.
Derek Clarkston. We challenge you to take the North Pole ride and cover the Kodiak Bears before you run your mouth again about the dedication and the hard work of these children. And let's see if you got the balls to make that kind of trip and see if you'll even still play on Saturday. I bet you'll even forget how to write. And maybe once you experience what these warriors for young men go through day in and day out before you write some positive, that was sarcastic, write-up about these young men that I've met that have been nothing but yes, sir, no, sir, and genuine in their play and love for the game. And I challenge you. You go on it, then you come on my podcast, and let's talk about what you endured and see if maybe it changes you. I like that. Let's drag them along. I like that, Doc. Thank you.
You know, it's interesting. Just a thought. When I lived on Long Island back in New York, I actually happened to live next to the Newsday sports writer. I don't know if he's still around or not, but his name was Steve Jacobson. He was actually my next-door neighbor. You know, we would talk every once in a while, and he was a well-known writer, and he understood. He was actually an individual. He's not a patient, so I could talk about him, but he was actually a pain patient, and he could appreciate what it took to be a professional athlete. And when he wrote, you understood, you know, he went to these places, and he traveled, and he got to know players, and he got to know teams. He didn't sit behind the desk all the time and just pass commentary. One of the things that I think is so important that every sports writer I've come in contact with, and I've met a few in my professional travels, is it's the journey and not the outcome. You know, when you talk about guys who want to get to the Super Bowl, they don't say, I want to win the Super Bowl. They say they want to get to the Super Bowl. They talk about the journey, the 16 games, the hardship, the training, the playing with the cast, the adversity, what it takes to get there. The score you can't always control because there are two teams out there. But when these young men put what they put into the journey of being a football player and the actual literal journey of getting to that opposing field, I think that's what this guy should be writing about. He should be writing about what it takes to play that game, not what the score is.
You have to take that, Garrett.
Yeah, it got a little, you know, it's funny. You always tell kids to ignore the noise, but in Kodiak, it's kind of in your face, you know? And when the only paper in town is actually being a little sarcastic, and I'm sure I'm not going to say anything personally, but what I'm saying is I hope the paper in general takes, even if it's just a professional and get, you know, do the things, get three sources, get quotes from those you write about it, and maybe they do every time, but, you know, especially in government, but, you know, they see it every day. And you know, you when you have to go face to face, like Dr. Burke said, with the kids that are actually doing it, I think that's an incredibly phenomenal idea to come along with us. Maybe we could cover the team from our perspective. You know, it's easy to throw things in from the outside.
Yeah,
maybe it'll draw from him. You know, maybe it'll make him more of a less of a sports commentator and more of a human interest writer as well, because, I mean, you're in a little town on a barrier island, you know? It's really about the human story, not, again, not the score. It's not about eight games. It's about these kids' lives that they've dedicated themselves. And that's where the human interest comes in. That's where the psychology of human beings comes into play.
Yeah, and I mean, in the end result of the game, you know, the point total, that doesn't tell the whole tale. I mean, when you see him, little, you know, a guy curled up on a concrete floor in the fetal position, that's the piece of the story that nobody gets in that score box. So,
all right, so there's your challenge, Derek. We issue to you to join the boys on the ride to North Pole and cover them. Get to know some of the young men. How is it I don't even live in Alaska and you're the sports editor calling the team and I've met three of them? Yeah, nice work. But, you know, see, I'm sorry. I'm a little bitter. But,
well, you're a player. You know what it's like. We had guys this week that are that are trying to get off the ferry. One kid that couldn't get off the ferry because he was busy vomiting. So when he finished vomiting, he left the ferry. And then he got to get on a bus for a couple hours. And then he's got to play as soon as he walks off the bus.
I bet Derek could even do that if he wanted to. you know, oh, my God. Don't get me started. But I think the challenge has been issued, Derek. And maybe we can all play nice together. And you can learn something and really get to know these young men. Because like Doc has been saying and I'm saying and the coaches say all week, we're proud of you fellas. I don't know any other team. Hell, you just heard Dr. Burt say he doesn't know professional athletes that are hacking it out like that. So you're doing amazing things. You're superheroes, guys. Don't forget that. You got fans in Florida. We're in 65 countries in all 50 states. So I imagine there's some fans somewhere else around there probably trying to order some Kodiak football gear over in Venezuela or something. But we're supporting you guys, and we got your back. And keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, good luck to you guys this coming Saturday.
Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Adam.
We'd sure like to hear from you, Adam, later and maybe a different episode on how to do that, how to talk to young men about blocking out some of the negativity, even from their own community, from their own. Oh, you know how folks are, Adam, with any high school football in the stands. And
Google my name and go to the Joe Rogan Experience and read the comments that they posted about me on the Joe Rogan Experience. Now, and my continued podcast. See, they're called trolls. That's what people do. They go on and they try to troll you, and you notice there's only one comment, nothing else, but they try to get you to respond and say negative things back. They're trolling you. And, yeah, I could definitely tell you how to deal with it on two angles when you're getting it online and those around you. For sure, man. I'd be more than happy to.
Thanks.
I think you coaches are building leaders. You know, these kids on your team, the one thing I think that you're going to, I'm sure the kids that have come before them and those that are going to come after them, you know, the one thing I think you guys are building is leaders. These young men are going to become leaders. They're going to be strong and independent. They're going to face hardship at a very young age, younger than even guys in the military who first go in at 18. You know, they are facing hardships to achieve a goal. You know, that's gung-ho attitude. And I think that you are building some very strong young men out there. And my shout-out to those young men, all of them, the two that are there tonight, and to all of the other guys on your team who were not in the room, you know, you guys really are incredible. And become leaders in your community. Don't let the negativity of an individual who can sit back and use criticism to gain attention, you know, nothing's accomplished by that. You know, focus on the positive, ignore the negative, and just keep building yourselves, because you guys are really, truly heroes as far as I'm concerned.
Do me a favor and check out the FNK podcast. It's a man show for the modern era, hosted by my friend Chris Fisher and his buddy Jesse Cage. Both of them spent a lot of time in radio and have decided to give it all up and move to the world of podcasting. But it's a hilarious podcast, and I really love listening to them. Check out FisherandCage.com.